This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
John Whitehead, the founder of the Rutherford Institute, online at rutherford.org, joins me live in studio. How are you, sir? It's good to see you.
Good. Good to see you, Coy.
Before we get into some of your recent essays, I wanted to just take a moment and talk very briefly about what will obviously be one of the very biggest news stories of this year, and that is the homicide. Now, we're looking at what we believe is a homicide. This young woman, Morgan Harrington, her remains were discovered yesterday in a farm in southern Albemarle County. In the last hour, we listened to the extended press conference of Dan and Jill Harrington, her parents, who shared their thoughts. And it was interesting that Mrs. Harrington spoke very broadly about the problems she recognizes in America, in our culture, where women are objectified and they're victims, and that they, you're not safe anymore. And it's such a dilemma as the dad of a little girl. We raise our little girls and tell them you can do anything, you can be anybody you want to be. This is America. This is a free country, and you are going to be educated. You will be inspired, and I want you to go out in the world and make something yourself and stand up and let the world know you're here. And then in the next breath we say, but don't walk alone at night. Don't go over here by yourself. We start, you know, putting walls around that freedom right away because we worry about their safety, because the truth is this is a dangerous country for young women.
I agree. I think that paranoia is not a bad word to use. I think that young ladies have to be very paranoid. They have to watch everything. Pedophilia, as we know, is a problem. I think the way we objectify women is really wrong. I think the way we present them on television a lot, basically, even on the news shows, is extreme sex objects. I mean, yeah. Fox shoots up the dress of some of the women. I mean, actually, the news anchors, and which always surprised me because I thought feminism was going to do away with all that, but it hasn't. But, you know, there are people out there that, you know, they're titillated by that, and they're driven by this. So we got to be more responsible. We're just irresponsible in how we present women generally to the culture. So I think that the other thing, I think strong thing is, as far as a moral compass, you know, that's been lost. I want to talk a bit about that when we're going to talk about the state of the nation.
Just
go back and look at some of the things Martin Luther King talked about. But, you know, we're spiritually beaten down country. We don't seem to have a real concept of how we treat people and why people should be elevated. And so I think we're, again, I would, you know, as a father of five children, paranoia is not a bad thing because there are a lot of loose cannons running around out there.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, it goes into a lot of things. There's a great book, Empire of Illusion by Chris Hedges. It just came out about 3 or 4 months ago. It's a great book, the former war journalist. And he goes into a lot of this about what's happening to kids and women. But he goes into the porn industry, for example, and talks a lot about how dangerous that can actually be, how women are treated in porn movies as objects. And that translates over to people who see those things and move on to do something else.
Yeah. Well,
and you're talking about a Pulitzer Prize winning author who is the leading war journalist. He's now come around to saying, wow, we got to watch how we talk about things, how we present women in any kind of venue, because there are a lot of messed up. Our society has a lot of psychologically deranged people running around.
And there's a lot of people here today, after the discovery of that body yesterday in Albemarle County, John, who believe that we have one of those people here in our community.
Probably.
Who could be listening to us right
people,
now.
Yeah, more than one of those people in our community.
Yeah.
So I think, it's like one of Woody Allen's movies, Curse of the China Jade. He was asked, some guy accused him of being paranoid. And he looked at Woody and says, you know what that means? And Woody Allen looked back and says, yeah, that means I'm very perceptive. So a little, especially with these kind of, you know, I wouldn't let a young lady be wandering around alone anywhere. I think they'll do not think that's a good idea.
Yeah. I was disappointed that the extent to which Lieutenant Joe Rader in the press conference yesterday really went out of his way. I don't want to alarm the Charlottesville community. I don't want to, but it would have been a good occasion to say, look, we very well could have a killer in this community. This person is likely from this area. And, you know, this is a time to exercise a little bit of extra caution. There's nothing wrong with that.
Staking out somebody else right now. I think so. Just be very, very careful, parents, young ladies. Be very, very careful.
Yeah. And this is definitely a time I would love to see the University of Virginia take this opportunity to remind their students to something they seldom do. And that's lock your windows, lock your doors. You know, it's very easy for them to leave their doors open, especially at this time. When they're getting back, when they come back in the fall, and when they come back after the winter break, they tend to leave their doors open. Oh, Mary doesn't have her key, you know.
And also how we, University of Virginia, our educationists, our public schools should be looking into how we present young ladies to the culture. I mean, I'm really concerned.
Yeah.
Because you're creating an audience out there that's a little strange and weird, and sometimes very strange and weird.
Yeah. I mean, what's being done to the human mind has never been done in the history of humankind when we talk about the technology and the images that flicker across our eyes.
The very violent images.
Violent images, and that we use women to sell cars, to sell everything, toothpaste, and it's just sickening to think about the degree to which this has gotten to.
Yeah, we have a lot of young women in our intern program. I talked to them only. I said, I thought we were going to do away with the news anchor who is young, blonde, and got a short dress on.
Yeah,
they're presenting her as a sex object to sell you something. I thought we were going to do away with that. You know, and they kind of look at me because they've kind of forgotten that's what we're going to do away with that kind of stuff. But we're still doing it.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, since the 70s and the women's movement, we've gone the opposite direction. That kind of thing has been completely embraced.
Yeah, it's just that's the thing that surprised me is we just forgotten. We weren't going to do that, but we're still doing it. It's gotten worse. I mean, when I criticized one of my commentaries, some stuff on Fox Channel, people emailed me and said, well, too bad for you, guy. I'm going to watch the babes on Fox. I got all kind of email. They were saying the babes on Fox. And I was saying they're watching Fox for the babes or whatever they were saying. I was going, these guys are weird.
Yeah.
You know? So,
yeah.
I mean, again, they were sending me a message. Yeah, we want to look at the women, you know. Very strange.
We're talking with John Whitehead. He's the CEO and the founder of the Rutherford Institute. It's online at rutherford.org. John, you spoke recently for the Miller Center of Public Affairs. Tell us about that experience.
It was a very good experience. I spoke on some major problems I saw, and it was a very well-packed room, house, and very well-educated audience. But I found that, I mean, you're talking about some Rhodes Scholars present and other people. I asked them my standard question to what I consider very well-informed audiences on a number of issues. Could anybody give me the five freedoms in the First Amendment? No one could. One lady tried, and she couldn't.
Really?
I spoke to the local bar association in November, about 150 lawyers. I asked if any lawyer in the room could give me the five freedoms in the First Amendment. Not one could. So it's the same old thing. We're back to my recurring theme. We're constitutionally illiterate, and we're facing a really huge problem because, you know, if you look at what Jefferson said, Thomas Jefferson, he said pre-university education was for one thing and your rights and duties as a citizen. For the basic reason is that if you don't know your rights and duties, you don't know when the government's taking them, so you can't hold the government accountable, we the people. And so that's where we're at. We're kind of at a dismal point. But, you know, it was good experience. But even in Charlottesville, where you would say, that couldn't be true. And by the way, we have some of the brightest kids coming into our summer intern program, law students from around the country. And we're going to have a bigger group this year than we've ever had. We got more people coming to it than we've ever had from across the country. First question I asked the students when they sat down is, law school, well, what are the five freedoms in the First Amendment? I have yet to have one who could give me the five freedoms in the First Amendment.
Why is it you think that is? We don't teach the Constitution?
No, we're horrible. You know, that recent survey found that Oklahoma students, that was the pilot survey, and they went to other states, only 3% of students in Oklahoma, high school seniors, could pass the U.S. immigration test, which 93% of foreigners pass. Only 3% as compared to 93%. Easy questions. Again, I went through questions at the Miller Center. You know, who wrote the Declaration of Independence? Thomas Jefferson. Who was our first president?
People don't know these
Benjamin
answers?
Franklin? No, it's George Washington, you know?
Yeah.
Give me one branch of the government. I mean, most people can do that. Congress, yeah. The president, you know, stuff like that. What's the supreme law of the land? That's one of the questions.
Yeah.
I think like 90% of the students cannot get either 8 questions right on the test. And these are really simple questions, you know.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Easy stuff. So what we've done is we've taken 20 steps backward. And all of a sudden, when we get in the case, people write me the most incredible emails like, why are you messing with this issue? Well, it's the First Amendment, you know. That's why we're involved in the issue. So what I think it says, and I saw Richard Dreyfuss on the Bill Maher show, and I had a neat conversation with Richard. But what he said was, and I thought was excellent, he gave a really good 10-minute monologue on the need to know your rights and the civics education. You need to know what the Founding Fathers stood for. They were a radical group. He said, if, and this is how he ended the program, if we do not start teaching our kids our rights, it's all over, folks. We're going to lose our democracy. I agree with him 100%.
We're talking with John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute, and to that end, you have brought with you the Rutherford Institute's pamphlet, Do You Know the Bill of Rights? It's a little pamphlet that goes down just step by step and walks you through the Bill of Rights. It's written in a format that would appeal to kids as well as adults.
Has pictures.
It's got pictures, and it spells out the Bill of Rights and a little history behind each amendment. And you can have one if you want it at 977-1070. Just give us a call, and it's yours. We've got a bunch here. And if you want one, or if you want to get a few to share with your friends and family, just call me right now at 977-1070. We're talking with John Whitehead. A very quick break. We'll be right back. Baby, 24 minutes after 5 o'clock, it's 42 degrees on this Wednesday in Central Virginia. I want to thank you for joining me. My name is Coy Barefoot, and this is Charlottesville Right Now. We're talking with John Whitehead, the CEO and the founder of the Rutherford Institute, online at rutherford.org. John, tonight the president of our nation will take to the rostrum and speak to a joint session of Congress and deliver his State of the Union address, followed by the governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia, Bob McDonnell, who will join us on this program next Tuesday. You wrote recently about the state of the nation, and you concluded, quote, I am afraid.
Yeah, I quote Bertram Gross from his book, Friendly Fascism, which is, by the way, a pretty darn good book and still relevant. He says, as I look at America today, I'm not afraid to say that I am afraid. He was a presidential advisor to Roosevelt and to Truman. He wrote a book, came out in 1980. It's, like I said, still very much relevant. So, yeah, as I look around the country, and here I think this is the key to it. If you look at what's happening in America in bits and pieces, it doesn't look all that ominous. But if you look at it in its totality, and that's what I tried to do in a commentary I did called The State of the Nation, I Am Afraid, which you can read at rutherford.org. I mean, I look at what we see happening on a day, and again, we look at it on a daily basis. It's something we're drenched in. In fact, I had a UVA student who's studying with us this semester. He says, man, all this stuff you see, how do you keep from getting so pessimistic and washed out? Because I have faith in people. But as I show, we're encased in what some are calling an electronic concentration camp, and that's well documented. Again, there's a number of articles on our website and studies that show that wherever we go today, we're being watched at the grocery store, the mall, the ATM. The
government, and that's only getting worse.
That's getting worse. That's just one part of it. The American government's amassing files daily on American citizens. Massive files. Plus, 70% of our intelligence budget is parceled out to private corporations, which go through what you spend at your credit cards, what you check out at the library, and that's fed into government files, so they know everything about you now. I mean, it started with tax returns and blah, 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 but it really expanded. There's a nefarious group called the National Security Agency, which has a computer now that sweeps all websites and sees what we're doing, like at the Rutherford Institute. They listen on radio programs. So, I mean, it's massive. You can read about this. And I tell people go, is this really true? Well, do your research. It doesn't take much. There's a guy named James Bamford who's written a number of books in this area. He's a former NSA intelligence agent. Very, very credible. Some arguing that we're moving into a police state. And I think that could very well happen. All the agencies are now connected, the CIA to the FBI, to the local police. And as some argue, civil libertarians I work with argue that, you know, martial law could happen overnight. I think that's a possibility. If you look at the economy, the deficit alone is scary. It's our national debt now is $12 trillion. It's going to double by 2015. Unemployment rate in minority communities, I'm told by black leaders, is over 20%, maybe 25%. As we know, the housing market's not great. And believe it or not, the number of children living in poverty is on the rise. It's over 20% now in the United States. I'll be writing a commentary on that pretty soon. That's very scary. We have some students researching that, and they came in and talked to me today, UVA students. They think it's very, very dismal.
We got one out of five families in the city of Charlottesville live at or below the poverty line.
It's getting worse, too. It's not going to get much better because the debt, what we're seeing, the unemployment rate is, again, it was a grave mistake for Obama to wait a year to start talking about getting jobs. You know, our global wars, the military empire, you know, there's the argument that what we've been doing for years and all the countries we occupy around the world, some 180 countries, the blowback is terrorism. And again, that's argued very effectively by the historian Chalmers Johnson, who written a number of books about the military empire. But, you know, what it does to the countries that we're involved in, all the innocent civilians that are killed, the women, the children, you go down the line. But it was an amazing report what it's doing to Americans. There's a recent report out of the Veterans Administration by all places that the young veterans, like 18 to 29 now, are committing suicide at such an alarming rate, they don't know what to do about it. It's from multiple deployments, bad family situations when they come back. So there's a real crisis there. I think globalization is going to create a problem. I think globalization is inevitable. Those of us who study Marshall McLuhan, like you, Coy, he said that electricity made it inevitable. Yes, it's true. But what that means is that regional national documents like the Constitution are going to become increasingly under attack. And where they're going to come under attack, and where we've seen it really under Bush and now under Obama, is through executive orders that they just issued by fiat. Again, I'm going to be writing on that in the near future. Obama just issued an executive order, one that got picked up by a lot of websites when everywhere, Huffington Post, whatever. I talked about the fact that through a very obscure, right during Christmas there, when everything was busy, they didn't issue a press release to the White House. They made Interpol an autonomous agency in the United States, housed in the U.S. Department of Justice, not under the Constitution, the Fourth Amendment, the Bill of Rights, and all those strange. And those are dangerous movements. We just really have to watch what the government's doing through executive orders, because the president, because what he's doing is it just bypasses the law on those kind of things. Pretty scary.
It becomes, it's king.
Yeah, but what happens is if you got a group like Interpol housed where the FBI is and all these agencies, any information they feed into Interpol becomes exempt. I mean, we can't get to it, in other words.
Yeah.
They're tied into the global network in Europe now, so-called the global CIA.
John, what do you say? We're talking with John White out of the Rutherford Institute, and we're going to take a break here at the bottom of the hour and come back in just a few minutes. But before we do, it seems to me that the people in America are so split that everybody on the right thinks that, Obama and the liberals are to blame for all this, and they're the ones that are causing all these problems. And everybody on the left thinks, George Bush was shredding the Constitution and the conservatives are the one to blame for all these problems. And they will never be on the same page and recognize that it's a systemic problem with the way our government works in the first place.
That's what I call the Washington elite. And that's why I've argued at the Miller Center we need to develop a new politics, what I'm calling nonpartisan constitutionalism, and that is, let's get away from all the party bickering, whether we're a Democrat or Republican, because that really didn't make any difference. Because while we're arguing about this or that, the Washington elite does what it wants to do. It just moves forward continually. And it's been going on steadily since the Reagan years. So it wasn't a creation of George Bush. It went through the Bush 1, Clinton, Bush 2, and now Obama. It just continues. And the office of the presidency continues to expand power. And that's one of the scary aspects of what we're seeing.
We're talking with John Whitehead and taking your calls at 977-1070. We're going to take a break here, a quick break for local news and get a weather update. And we'll invite you to join this conversation at 977-1070. We're talking with John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute. During the break, John, we had a caller who referenced something that Sean O'Brien said earlier in this program Sean O'Brien, the director of the Center for the Constitution at James Madison's Montpelier. We were talking about the history of the Constitution and how it was really, truly a compromised document between folks who really disagreed, but all those compromises were held in secret behind closed doors. This was not a public thing.
Yeah, I think, you know, of course, sometimes government has to deliberate behind closed doors, but as long as what they deliberate about is later revealed, and I'm not talking 2 years or 3 years, but soon after, sure, I think as long as the public knows what they're talking about and why. Otherwise, you can't hold them accountable. I think that's very, very important. But, you know, again, if you look at the, I'd say, yeah, like when I look at the Constitution before the Bill of Rights, it's basically a structure of government. It has the great habeas corpus provision in it, which, you know, allows people to be brought out of jail and see a judge. But it isn't until we get to the Bill of Rights, which were talked about in public, by the way, and urged very radically by Thomas Jefferson, that we should have a Bill of Rights, the Constitution came alive. And I often say the greatest gift we gave to the world was not the Constitution, but the Bill of Rights,
which is amazing. Yeah.
It's an amazing document.
John Whitehead, the CEO and the founder of the Rutherford Institute, online at rutherford.org. Before we leave your recent essay on the State of the Nation here, and we're just a few hours out from the State of the Union address from President Obama, and we've talked about this before too, but what most concerns me, I think, is what's happening in schools. And that documentary that you participated in, The War on Kids, I think everyone should see that. It's an amazing film. And it concerns me that we're getting children used to a different world than the schools that you and I went to. The schools that exist now are very, very different. And in many respects, not all of them, but most of them, and certainly most of the public schools, and we're getting young Americans used to an environment, a police state.
Exactly. I was
so that when they grow up and they're adults and they find themselves out in the world, they're much less likely then to question authority and to ask, oh, well, wait a minute, why is this happening?
Well, several things are going. One is through the, you know, really sometimes draconian enforcement of zero tolerance policies, where kids are thrown out of school for having Alka-Seltzer or Midol or suspended or bringing a Nerf gun in their backpack. They're thrown out of school.
It's just one ludicrous thing after another.
Yeah, but what it's showing them is, it's teaching a really weird and strange, I think, bad political science lesson, is that you really have no rights. You don't have a right to a hearing. And the other thing is, and this is the big complaint we're getting across the country, is kids are being disciplined. They're being told they're going to leave school because they did this or that. They may have had a nasal spray or something. Parents are never invited in, generally, into these meetings. So they really don't get like a due process hearing. And
yeah.
So we're really teaching them that they don't. And what would be so valuable if the schools would take the time to step out of their bureaucratic mindset and say, yeah, let's have a hearing and let everybody participate.
Give them the experience of democracy.
Democracy, yeah. We're not doing that. So what we're doing, I think, and I think, that, again, that documentary is very good, The War on Kids, is it shows that we're kind of erecting a camp where they go to. And they're not going to want to get out and maybe picket. But the other thing is, they're not being taught civics. They're not being taught their rights. They're not being taught how radical some of these founding fathers were. And I've said this, there's no reason why a kid who gets out of eighth grade in the United States should not know the Bill of Rights backwards and forwards and not be willing to pick up a picket sign and stand out in front of his public school if he doesn't like what they're doing. And the school should applaud that.
We're talking with John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute, and we got another John on line one. John, you're on with John Whitehead. Go right ahead.
Good afternoon, Corey. How are you doing?
Very good, very good. Thanks for the call.
All right. Well, first, I just wanted to thank you for the show and so many great topics that you have, and what a service you do for the community. And
thank you.
I also wanted to commend Mr. Whitehead for the pamphlet. I have a couple of those for my kids, and I wanted to make a suggestion and then ask a question. The suggestion I have is an acronym to help remember the five freedoms of that First Amendment, which would be RAPS, R-A-P-P-S, for religion, assembly, press, petition, and speech.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Works for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
It certainly helped my kids remember that.
Well, the fact that you're teaching your kids that makes you like in the top one percentile. Yeah. So that's excellent you're doing that. They'll be, and, maybe you're going to turn out a few good, honest American rebels.
Well, hopefully they won't be too rebellious, but...
No, I'm talking about speaking truth to power. That's what good Americans do.
Yes, and if you have the opportunity, I heard you talk earlier about how we're, you know, encapsulated by electronics, but regardless of what you think about it, at this point in time, the kids, if they, you know, if they had a rap song that went along with this, or they even had some type of video game that helped them learn the Constitution, I think those could be a help.
That's a great idea. Yeah. In fact, we're working on something like that right now at the Rutherford Institute with a group of students.
Well, great. I
think the real issue is how do we teach modern kids, modern young people, the Constitution? I think it needs to be done another way. And I've talked to some civic teachers who like the idea of something visual, something different.
Yeah.
Right, right.
They like the idea, and they think it will engage the young people, and they'll learn it.
I think that's. I think you're on the right track with that. Well, I have a little bit of a radical idea that I want to propose and see what your take or other listeners might have on it. And this has to do with the recent Supreme Court ruling about funding of
corporations funding political campaigns.
Unrestricted donations, right?
What would you think about, I don't know if it would require a constitutional amendment, it might, but basically saying if you as a person can vote for someone, you can give them as much money as you want. If you're not a person and you can't vote for someone, you can't provide any funding to their campaign.
You're talking about being a human person or a corporate
person?
Yes,
a human person, not a corporation. So basically, a corporation can't vote. If you can vote for that person, you can give them campaign money unlimited, however much you have and want to give. If you are not someone that can vote for a person, then you cannot give them campaign contributions.
Yeah, I don't know where it would go. I do think, I don't like that ruling. I think it's basically going to take government out of the hands of the average person because they're what the first impact, and again, the advertisers, they're going to be massive. You're going to be bombarded with advertisings by corporations.
Yeah, just political hold on. Here we go.
But the thing is, and this is the sad thing, is Americans actually decide most of the time, I'm sorry, much of the time, how to vote based on political advertising. And I've opposed political advertising. If there was a way to restrict it on television, I'd be all for that. I think it's most of it I see is absolutely awful, and it's not true, most of it. So we're going to get bombarded. Will they change that? No. Let me go back to what I said earlier. There is a Washington elite, and the Supreme Court is part of that. That was as much a political decision I've ever seen in my life from the Roberts Court. It was definitely pro-corporate money. You can just hear the jingling of the money all the way to the bank on that decision. It really let down. The Roberts Court, by the way, is absolutely awful. And we're ladies and gentlemen, we're facing an uphill battle, and I keep emphasizing it. We're going to have to get politically active. You're going to have to know your rights. Get this little pamphlet that we give out free called Do You Know Your Bill of Rights? Because, again, a lot of people disagree with the Tea Party folks, and I'm not a Tea Party person, but I think anybody, I'm for anybody out there that's active these days, whether it's on the left or the right. And what I keep saying is, if they get up off their butts and go do something, why would you complain about it? They're actually out there doing something, whoever they might be. And I'm for the left, the right, the middle, the libertarians. I'm non-political. I just like activists out there speaking truth to power, and that's what we really need. And if not, I think that we're in really, really, really deep trouble. John, that's our only hope now, I think.
John, thank you so much for the call and appreciate your kind words. That's John in Charlottesville. We got a line open at 977-1070. We're talking with John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute online at rutherford.org. That decision from the Supreme Court, I thought it was horrible.
It's horrible.
And I don't see how, right or left, conservative or liberal, how you can see if that's a good decision, because that truly is not a conservative or a liberal decision. It's not a right or left.
It's an elite decision.
It's an up or down. It really favors just a very small percentage at the top of the economic strata in America, and the rest of us
squeezes the little guy out.
Yeah, the rest of us suffer as a result. It makes no sense to me.
Corporations are not persons, and they. When the Supreme Court had really, in the history, when they first ruled, they were persons, and I was in school. I was going, how did the corporation? Because that's not what the people who wrote the Constitution, and they never. Had an idea that corporate entities would be persons. No, they're human beings.
Well, even the original Tea Party was actually a revolt not against taxes. It was against the collusion of then corporations, the East India Company, and government. It was a revolt against government being in the pockets of big business. That's what the Tea Party was originally about.
We're hitting at a central problem, and that is the rise of the corporate state. Corporations exercise such a power in our government. Even with President Obama, I mean, how many people know that President Obama got over $20 million in funds for his campaign from the private insurance industry? And people are wondering why he was meeting in the White House, why Joe Biden was meeting in his home with them. So the corporate and the lobbyists and the corporate empire is so strong, and they don't think that they're not concerned about rights and liberties. They're concerned about profit motive. And so that's what we're facing. And giving them expansive inroads into funding political campaigns, oh my, what's going to happen? See, you got Republicans and Democrats. I think, was it 350 million people in the United States? That's how many people? That's a lot of folks. And we can only vote from one or the other. Why not 10 candidates? Because the entities want to keep it Republican and Democrat so they can control it. See, they don't want a wild card out there like a Coy Barefoot. Running for office. They don't want that. They want to control it.
They don't want the scene that you see in younger democracies around the world where you have a plethora of candidates.
Yeah, if I go to the store and there are 50 coal medicines, why can't I have the 50 candidates to vote for? Because when I look at some of the candidates sometimes, I go, oh my, it's not a choice, it's an alternative. I mean, but give me a choice, a reasonable choice. And when they have the debates, I want to see all of them, not just the two. Why can't I see everybody's got something to say? Why can't I see Ralph Nader on the national debate?
Yeah.
Why did they close him out?
And the last time they did that was Ross Perot, and then they quickly stopped that and wouldn't allow the independents anymore, the third-party candidates, into the national debates because they didn't like when Perot got in there.
Someone's pulling the strings. I mean, they give you all kinds of excuses for it, but, come on. This is America. We're supposed to have choices and freedom.
Yeah.
But they're narrowing and again, you get one or the other, and then all that money goes into these people, and money does corrupt, as we're seeing probably with our current president.
It's that tension, John, that has always existed between capitalism, the economic form that we have in this free country, and democracy.
But that's the reason you have laws. That's the reason you have laws. Laws restrict certain entities so that the average person can have freedom. Otherwise, we don't have freedom. And that's what we're facing. And we talk about the schools. And I mean, how many people really feel like you can really, today, with all the distractions, all the economic problems, you really feel free to get up and go down to your local city council meeting and do something? I ask people, I want freedom. How many times have you been down to the local city council meeting this year? And they look at you with like a big question mark. But that's where it has to start, local government. But people feel pressed down now. And there's no wonder with this. You're going to get so bombarded on TV with political ads.
As a result of the Supreme Court decision. Yeah.
Turn it off.
Yeah, it's going to be unbelievable.
Turn it off.
Yeah, and the winners in that are really the big media companies.
The big media
companies.
That's
who just won. It's a windfall for them.
And when someone gives $20 million to a president's camp, a guy running for president, we should know that automatically. That should be a law. That should be all public immediately so you know who you're voting for.
Yeah.
McCain got $7 million. Obama got $20 million.
From private insurance companies.
We wonder why we got the bill we got. It was basically a private insurance bill.
John Whitehead is the CEO and the founder of the Rutherford Institute. His most recent book is The Change Manifesto, and that is absolute must reading. If you haven't read it, then get to the bookstore right away and pick it up. It's John's suggestion. It's your solution. For really, at the end of the day, faced with this problem, faced with the situation that we find ourselves in, whether you're liberal or conservative, I've said this so many times on this program, I could care less.
Yeah.
Purple, green, yellow, I don't care. We all live together. We're all Americans.
We have to get along.
We're all Virginians here. We got to figure out a way to get through this because we are beset with terrific challenges and problems.
Well, I keep saying, if the boat sinks, we're all going to sink with it.
Yeah. So and there's so much in your book that really lays out, here's some good ideas that we can do as Americans to figure out a way to bridge this divide, because the only people that benefit, as long as the liberals and conservatives are at each other's throats, the only people that continue to benefit are the ones that are already
in power.
In power.
The Washington elite, which is run by, they say, you know, if you go up on 14th Street, I mean, it's just all... it's all lobbyists. I mean, they spend billions. Yeah. And
as long as the liberals and conservatives hate each other and blame each other for their problems, business goes on as usual.
See, the people who wrote the Constitution never imagined that the pharmaceutical industry would basically dictate everything.
Would write the laws.
Yeah, but they sit and talk to our representatives. My opinion is that why aren't we in there talking to our representatives? See, we can't get on an airplane. Most of us have to work. We can't fly across the country, but they can. They encamp there in Washington. So there's a real problem that we have to address. And I go back to it. There should be laws restricting access to our representatives by some of these people.
John Whitehead of the Rutherford Institute. You can read his work online at rutherford.org and get his new book, The Change Manifesto. John, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, sir.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.